Thanks for tuning in to Tips from the Server Room. I'm your host, Jack. Sit back, relax, and listen to this new episode of Tips from the Server Room. Yes, welcome back, everybody, once again to the podcast here. This is Tips from the Server Room. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to bring you some server tips and tricks along the way to run your server room maybe a little bit more efficiently. This is actually shooting out there to all your tech admins out there, you network administrators, or anybody else that really likes servers and working with them and, you know, trying to do their best every day with all that type of jazz. This podcast has fallen through the cracks a little bit because I've been experimenting with a lot of other shows, but I really, really, really want to get this one off the ground. I see a lot of subscribers out there, and I see you guys are listening to this and girls and are picking this podcast up, and you want to learn a little bit more about your server. So I'm here to actually bring you into this and teach you more about your server and how it operates and whatever we can do with it. First of all, did you know that Windows Server 2012 is sneaking through the cracks? It's starting to pick its head up, and you're going to be seeing it very, very soon. I've already been experimenting with it, and I already have an online class, and I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. First, today, I thought we would talk about, in this particular show, we're going to talk about DNS and DHCP and why they're so important and what we use them for. Obviously, you already know that they're very, very important, and you know that you need these particular items to run your servers correctly. Now, if you're an old dog like me, you'll know that we used to use a product with our servers called WINS, W-I-N-S, and it was the Windows naming system is what it was. And for lack of better terminology, it gave us a way inside of our network to name our servers. And if your WINS was set up properly, you could find everything on your network just by simply typing the name. Well, now after several years of evolution, Microsoft has come up with a better way of doing things, and now we use DNS for everything. And ever since Server 2000, you had to learn DNS, and you had to get really accustomed to using it. If not, again, you'd be left by the wayside. And sometimes, believe it or not, if you set a Windows server up, even today with 2008 or with 2012, you're going to find out that if you don't set DNS up properly and point your clients to your DNS, your logons are going to be really, really lengthy. I'm talking maybe anywhere from, I've seen up to 10 to 20 minute logons. And I'll tell you why in just a second. First of all, as DNS says, it's domain name services. So just like we have on the internet, what we've been using for forever on the internet, ever since I had an internet business, we had to understand DNS and set it up properly so people can find our website, right? You're not going to type in http://208195. You're not going to do that. What you want to do is type in something like hbo.com, and you want somebody else to figure out where that number actually goes and where that address points to. So that is why DNS is so critical on your network. Now, to set up DNS properly, you're going to have to, when you first start your server up, you can either have it on your domain controller or your Active Directory domain controller, which I wouldn't really recommend. If it was me, I usually build a separate DNS server because that server takes thousands and thousands of hits all day, especially a network like ours. Our network has 700 nodes, plus everything else out there talking to it. And it's just going to get worse next year because we're inviting in stuff like iPads all the time, Chromebooks, iPhones, Android phones, Android tablets, and we have all that stuff to look forward to. So DNS, we set it up, and what we set it up for and we wanted to do is we wanted to do a dynamic system or a dynamic setup. So what happens there is as things are introduced to our network, it writes it to DNS on its own. That way you don't really have to fool with it. Now, there are little tricks and tips that I found along the way with DNS. I'm going to show you or teach you about those right now. First, if you have any internal controllers or internal Let's say you have an internal host. You host your website or your email server on your network, and you do that completely on its own inside your network. Well, what you're going to find out is, if you have a proper setup firewall, it should not allow a request to go out of your network and come back in. Okay, and that's in design itself, because what happens there is the server and the firewall know that if you're going to make a request for your, say, Exchange server, you're going to know that that Exchange server is in your network, right? It's not outside the network. So you're going to have to set your DNS up so you can point those clients into the internal IP address. Now, let me tell you how that works. Now, very simple is you set it up, your DNS, and what you would set up, let's say you have a website. Let's say it's mywebsite.com. What we like to do with our internal stuff is we give it the internal number, like a 192.168.1.7, all right? And when we do that, I go to the domain name server, the DNS server, and I'll put a forward entry in there. And I'll put in there, 192.168.1.7 goes to mywebsite.com. That way, if anybody in my network types in mywebsite.com in a web browser, it knows to go directly back to the internal server. Now, you may be asking you, how do people out in the free world find this, right? How do people out in the world find my website if it's all pointing directly internal? Well, you need an external DNS service. Unless you want to register your DNS outside, which I wouldn't recommend, because then you have to open up holes in your firewall to bring all that traffic back. So what we normally do is we pay a DNS service on the internet. Now, I particularly use Zone Edit. Zone Edit will allow you to have, I think, one or two free zones. So it won't cost you anything, but it is better to pay the money and pay for their services, because they do a really, really nice job. Now, on a DNS service, that Zone Edit, I'll go out and put up mywebsite.com, and I'll put my external or my routable IP address into there, and then set up a static in my firewall, which we'll talk about in another show, I'm sure. But you set up a static in your firewall to allow that traffic to come back through to get to your domain or your website hosting box, and you host your website out. Now, that's a great, great scenario for DNS and why you really need it. The secondary part of DNS is it's much easier for us to remember names of computers, because we kind of have naming conventions, as I'm sure you probably do in your network. Let's say you have four people working in your finance office, all right? So the four people are in your finance office, and we're going to call these computers Finance 1, Finance 2, Finance 3, and Finance 4. It's easier if we want to remote to that computer if we bring up our RDP client and we type in Finance 1. It's going to go directly to that computer because it's going to hit the DNS server and say, hey, what IP is that computer? It's going to see it and it's going to go right over to it. It works extremely, extremely well. Now, in order for DNS to work absolutely perfectly, you have to understand your DHCP. And you have to make sure your DHCP is set up properly so the DNS will just work on its own. Now, with our DHCP, you have two ways of doing things. Now, this is called a dynamic hosting protocol, okay? So it's dynamically hosting or handing out IP addresses, so it's a DHCP. Now, with all of our servers and all of our internal stuff in our network, we like to go about putting IP addresses on that stuff. So when I set up a scope in my DHCP server, let's say we're going to use that 192 address scheme again, and we're going to use a Class C network, okay? A 255.0 net mask. And we're going to use 192.168.1.1 to 192.168.1.254, 253. With that said, what I do with my scope is I start the scope at .50. You can even start at .100 would be a good idea, but .50 is pretty safe depending on your size of the network and how many servers you have. That allows us to have all those addresses below that to use as static addresses on our gear. I always make, you know, you make your firewall, you know, your first part of your network, you make your router the first part, then you bring your servers, you know, you want to start like .3, .4, .5, .6. So that way you always understand your servers. You always know their IP addresses, which is pretty important. And you also always know their name, which is very important, because that name, again, will get registered with DNS and you can actually get to that server at any single time you want to. Now, with that said, well, you can set up multiple scopes on your DHCP server. Here's something to remember about a DHCP server. Although we can have multiple DNS servers on our network, you should never have more than one DHCP server on your network. And this is just good common sense. Now, the reason is they'll start clashing or talking against one another when you do that. And when they clash against one another, they'll start handing out the same IPs because they don't know what the other one is actually doing. Now, we've discussed this many times at roundtables, and we said, look, we can set up two DHCP servers and have two totally different scopes, both within the same subnet. And you do have that option. That way, if one DHCP server should fail, the other DHCP server should be happily handing out IP addresses, and nobody in your network should see any downtime. That's a great way of doing things, and it works out well. But I would still recommend, it's always good for me just to have one DHCP server to keep my network nice and clean and humming along smoothly. So that is your basic DHCP server and your DNS server. Again, these two should be on totally two different servers. If you can't afford that, if you're using small business server or something, you may host all these on one server, and that's okay because you're probably running a smaller network if you're running small business server. Myself, with 700 nodes, it does well for us to have a few DNS servers to hit during the day so that one server's not getting pounded. And folks, these can be virtual servers. They don't have to be, by any means, they don't have to be, you know, all physical boxes. And I'm sure we'll talk about that another day also, physical boxes opposed to virtual servers and what you should be using. But we'll get in touch with that another day. And that's why it's critical for you to comment on these podcasts. If you go to the website tipsfromtheserverroom.com, you can comment on these podcasts, and I'd be glad that you did, to give me some feedback and let me know you're listening and what you're thinking about out there. It'd be great to hear from you. So folks, we are going to wrap this one up for this evening, and hopefully you picked something up out of this little talk about DNS and DHCP. Then I'm sure we're going to be talking to much more here in the coming months and weeks and years, and getting these shows on the road. I'm sorry that they kind of fell by the way. So I started off strong with it with the first episode. We had a really good episode, but I'm going to come back and we're going to start putting these out there because I see they're very popular. So please subscribe and keep all your friends, and tell your friends to subscribe to them also. Folks, thank you very much for listening to this podcast and downloading it. I do appreciate that. Please check out my website, jackstechcorner.com. This is all part of the JTC Learning Network now. And on there, I have some great, very low-cost Windows Server 2008 and 2012 online trainings. You can take those trainings from me. They're all video-oriented. They're very straightforward trainings. You watch a video, take a little quiz, and when you're done, you earn a certificate. So again, they're very low-priced. And they're very well made. I've had a lot of students in those courses already, and they tell me that they are helping them immensely. So that's great news to me, as well as it should be a great thought for you to be hearing that, so you know that they are worthwhile to take. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time on Tips from the Server Room. So long for now. You've been listening to Tips from the Server Room. Thank you very much for tuning into this podcast. Please subscribe if you're not already subscribed, and check out my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com. I'll see you next time. Take care, and bye for now.